It's a snowy day here in Madison, but not in Dallas. I got to shovel some snow, got to have some fun out in the white world we call snow. And you are watching Shoveling Through This Week in Google Glass. Hey everybody, Jeffrey Powers here from Geekazine Think Magazine. Put in a geek, you've got Geekazine. And you are on This Week in Google Glass. This week we're doing it slightly different because we are going straight through Google Hangouts to record it and then bring it up. So if you're watching it live, congratulations, you found the live version. Of course, if you're watching it recorded, well, congratulations, you found the recorded version too. It's really a prize in itself, a show with me and my co-host, Mr. Luke Wallace. Luke, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing good. Haven't been shoveling any snow down here in Dallas, so just a little bit of rain. So, yeah, doing good, Jeff.
No snow in Dallas? That's crazy.
Yeah.
It should be snowing like 50 feet.
No, Dallas doesn't get a lot of snow usually. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're missing out. I mean, look at this. It's like, it was only like an inch of snow and stuff like that. But, you know, hey, it's a lot of fun to actually go ahead and shovel it out and just, you know, kind of relax and enjoy life. Now, you've never shoveled snow before, have you?
Yeah, I've never actually had to shovel snow. I don't even know how to say it. I rarely even say those words. So
I want you to say it 10 times fast. Shovel snow, shovel snow.
No.
No? Okay.
I'll fail.
All right, well, tell everybody where they can find you.
So I'm Luke Luca on Twitter or luke@twig.tv. That's twigg.tv. Or you can find me on Google Plus. It's google.com/+LukeWallace.
And, of course, I'm at geekazine@gmail.com. Think Magazine, put in a geek. And, of course, Jeffrey Powers is my Google Plus name. You can also find me plus Geekazine. And, of course, plus this week in Google Glass, you can go over there and get everything happening over at This Week in Google Glass. We had a very interesting conversation last week, and a lot of people were interested in what we were talking about with prescription lenses, and a lot of things we said kind of came true too. And I was really excited about that. Like for instance, lots of articles now talking about how these glass could end up in an optometrist's office. You could go to your optometrist and see a pair of frames for Google Glass there, possibly. So, but anyway, if you want to check it out, it's all over at This Week in Google Glass. There is the last week's episode. We are on episode number 24. Let me hit the right button there. There we go. And, of course, you can go to twig.tv, twigg.tv, or thisweekinggoogleglass.com to get more information and, of course, check out all the shows there. Just so you know, having a small little glitch with the website. It went down this morning, working on it with the service provider. So if you don't get in, just wait a little while and it'll be popping back up. So, all right. Well, Luke, you've been testing out some apps this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week. We'll get to kind of why a lot of that happened, but talking about the GDK, but they actually released a bunch of new apps this week, and I tried out a few of them. One of them that I tried out was Word Lens, which is actually an app that's been out for iPhone and Android for some time, but it's a translation app. What's interesting about Glass is that it stores a lot of languages offline. The app is free. Normally it's paid for these for each kind of language pack that you have to buy. And so how it works is you basically wake up your glass and they've added a new voice command. So instead of saying take a picture or get directions to or send a message, you say translate this. And what it does is it turns on the camera, and then when you hold your heads really still, it'll zoom in on whatever text you're looking at and basically start to do a word-by-word translation. And it can do basically Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, I think French, and all to English or back and forth from English to any of those languages. And so there was a big sign we had up at our office, and I think Jeff is showing it here, It was kind of a banner for the JFK 50th anniversary, which was last Friday. And we had this big poster up with all these words on it. So I went out and tried my glass and told to translate to Spanish. And so it did these little kind of word by word translations of that poster. Really interesting. You know, it's not going to, it's not going to make you fluent in any of these languages by, you know, really understanding the context and doing the perfect translation. But the idea is really just give you an idea of what you're looking at. You know, it really works well for signs and yeah, maybe some other, you know, kind of short phrases, and can translate those. But yeah, a really interesting idea. I let a couple other people try it, and it's just kind of interesting to see how basically now, instead of having to, you know, look at a word, find it in a dictionary, or even pull out your phone, you can just say, hey, Glass, translate this. And it'll, you know, kind of switch into that mode and do the translation for you pretty quickly.
So if you're in a, if you're actually in a different country, because I just heard this, only 9% of the world speaks English, and only 19% speak it as a second language. So you could be in Mexico, and you're trying to figure out where you are, you know, street signs and stuff like that. So you could actually turn this on and say, hey, translate this, so I can try and figure out what this is all about.
Yeah, and what's really neat is it's completely offline, doesn't require a data connection, so you could use it literally anywhere. You don't have to have any sort of data connection on your phone or be near Wi-Fi. So a really neat idea, and one of those really useful applications for Glass. The other one I tried was the bicycling app from, I believe it's Strava, maybe Strava. I'm not really sure. Again, it's one of those things I've seen written but never pronounced. And basically it lets you track runs, or in my case, cycling trips. And so I went out for a little cycling trip on Saturday when it was very cold, and just did a quick ride around the neighborhood.
Wait a minute, very cold? What do you mean by very cold?
Mid-30s.
Is there snow on the ground where you are? No.
No snow. So it wasn't that cold. but cold for a bike ride, you know, riding through at 9.4 miles an hour. But basically this little tracker, you start it up, you say, start a bike ride, and it starts counting, the time, and it uses your phone's GPS to track your location and your total distance. And basically any time when you're riding, you just kind of tilt your head up, and it'll be the card that's sitting there by default. Instead of just getting the clock, you get this elapsed timer, and you can see, how far you've gone and, your current speed. So a really, really neat way to do that. There's a lot of different running apps and tracking apps, but having something that you can check that easy is just, really convenient.
Yeah. Now, I actually tried it myself, and I loaded up Strava, and it wouldn't. First of all, I was going to try it on the treadmill, see what if it could get fooled, but I'm assuming there's some sort of GPS attachment to it, right?
Yeah, it seems to be using the GPS from my phone to be able to get its location.
So yeah, and so I didn't think it was going to work. But every time I tried to turn it on, I was pulling from my iPad, and it kept saying, you need to log in. And I created a login through Facebook, and then I didn't get a password to log in. So it kept asking me for username and password. So it never really connected up to my Glass. So I'm not exactly sure how to – I'm going to have to play with that a little bit to see what happens. And then I am going to try it on the treadmill and see what happens. But looks like great apps. And this is like a – this is only two of a few new ones that are in the My Glass area. Is that correct?
Yeah, it seemed like there were, 10 or 12 new ones that they added in. I haven't looked through all of them. I tried out a handful of them. So
let's take a look here really quick. So I'm just pulling it up really quick. And they actually put it into a new area. I think it's called Glassware. We've got one that's another cooking app. I'm surprised that KitchMe's not in here. I thought that was a better cooking app, but all the cooks' recipes, You can search through over 150,000 recipes. Evernote, CNN, Facebook Field Trip is one that you can you're basically told of little landmarks and stuff like that are, around you. The golf site, I wanted to give that a try to this last weekend, but I didn't have the opportunity to do that. But that looks very interesting. And then Spellistra is one, and the other one you had was the Word Lens, right?
Yeah, Word Lens was the translating app.
Okay.
I did try out Spellista too, kind of an interesting spelling game where you tilt your head, you know, kind of turn your head and point to target different letters, and that's how you spell out words.
Yeah. And then they have a couple new news ones. There's a Sports Yapper, I think it's called. There it is, right there, where it allows you to get up to the minute scores. I tried. They had a compass on there. I've tried that. It actually works pretty well. In fact, we tried it. We were playing with it right before we went on air, and it was kind of. I just turned it on, and it kept saying that this way is north, and I can tell you for a fact that that way is north. And it said there was too much interference, so I did this, and all of a sudden it just kind of figured itself out. You said something to the effect that, you know, you just have to shake the device for things to work like that.
Yeah, it's probably like a calibration kind of built-in functionality of, you know, once it detects every possible, you know, signal it's getting, once it, you know, kind of figures out, okay, here's the magnetic field strength in all the directions, it's like, oh, well, then this must be north or something. I'm guessing that they've got some kind of simple self-calibration in there.
Yeah. And then another one actually just popped up, and this looks pretty interesting. It's called Yumanu. Let me pop it up here. There it goes. Yumanu. With Yumanu, you will hear real voice actors read interesting news articles to you. I am so hitting the plus on that one and turning that puppy on. And yes, I'll let it accept. So this is basically the process that you have to do is you basically have to, just like with a Facebook app or something like that, you have to accept it, and then it turns on, and then, of course, it then uploads to your Google Glass as you go from there. So pretty interesting apps. We're going to have to take a look at some of the more. But, of course, the bigger news is that there's going to be more apps out there, because that little thing that they call the Glass Development Kit, or GDK, is now available for. And, of course, I was invited last week. And Luke, I think you were invited last week as well to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we of course, couldn't go because, you know, that's a pretty big bill right there. But they showed people how to use this new GDK and the new Mirror API. Luke, why don't you tell us a little bit about what this is?
So it's something that we've been talking about. It's actually an add-on to the Android Developer Kit. You know, as most people are probably aware, the Google Glass actually runs Android. It's another Android device similar to any Android phone or tablet or that new Galaxy Gear watch. Basically, they just use sensors and stuff, and it's just the display is really different. So Glass has always been able to run standard Android apps. It's just the inputs and the outputs are a little different. You know, you have a different kind of display area. You know, it's a much smaller screen, and your interaction is all done typically through either voice commands or the little touch panel on the side. And so you could always write Android apps, but back at Google I.O. in June, they said that they were going to be releasing this GDK that would let you kind of write those native apps more easily. Mm. And so they announced it then, and they said it's coming soon. And here we are, you know, several months later, and they finally have released it. They did that little hackathon, like you mentioned, kind of let some people come and work with the Google engineers. And really what it is the GDK is really just an add-on that kind of wraps up some of the calls and makes it a lot easier to display, you know, the views and the, you know, the images and text and stuff that you want to display on glass, it just makes it a lot simpler. It also makes it simpler to collect the little touch events and kind of handle all the those swipe forward, swipe back, you know, all those events, and just kind of pass them through to your Android app. So the other thing that it allows is to actually use the sensors in real time a lot easier. So before, with the mirror API that Jeff is showing now, this is the, like, that's the API that's been around for a while, and that one's been able to send the little cards of information and let you kind of do limited actions on those and basically use a website to pass the information back to. This GDK now actually lets you use the compass, use the you know, the display and do real-time updates, you know, just, you know, so you could do things like draw 3D graphics. You could, you know, take into account all the tilt sensors and all that and do more of that augmented reality kind of stuff that you really can't do with the mirror API just because of how it's limited. So the Glass Development Kit really just gives you a lot easier access to all the hardware that you see on Glass. And it's really meant for apps that kind of need to take over for an extended period of time and use all those other sensors. So, for example, that word lens, it actually uses the camera in real time to, you know, take video and analyze it and look for text in it and then replace the text, you know, in real time and show it to you on your little display. So you're kind of getting this little augmented reality version of whatever you're looking at. Yeah. And that really wouldn't be possible with the mirror API at all. And so it's going to open up a whole new... Hello.
It looked like we froze up or something. Are you still there?
Yep. I can hear you now.
All right. So it looks like we had a small little glitch in the system. So anyway, so the Glass Developer Kit. Now this is just a sneak peek. It's not the actual full version Glass Developer Kit, correct?
No, I think this is it's the full kit. I believe basically it's just a matter of you know, it's the first version of it, so they'll probably, just like the Android development kit, where basically over time they will add more to it.
I think they're just calling it a beta developer kit right now.
So. Yeah, sure. I mean, the same thing happened with Android when it was first released back before the first Android phone. There were Android development kits coming out, you know, new revisions of it every month or so. And so it's probably the same kind of thing. They don't want to say it's completely final yet because they haven't, it hasn't been made public before now. So it's really just, you know, they're putting it out there and they're saying this could all change. We're going to kind of see what the feedback is. We might change the names of things. We might add in some features. We might take out some features if there's security issues. We might change how they work. And so, I mean, it's everything with Google is a beta at first, right? So
that is true. So, and you haven't used it yet, right? Because I haven't.
Correct. I have not actually downloaded it and used it. It's on my to-do list. So maybe I'll get some time over the Thanksgiving break to plug it in and see what I can throw together pretty quick.
Wait a minute. You get a break during this Thanksgiving part?
I'm allowed Thanksgiving off, yes, for most of the day.
Yeah, that makes one of us, I guess, so. No, I actually do have some plans for Thanksgiving. We're gonna head down to Jennifer's folks' place, our sister's place, and we're gonna have Thanksgiving dinner down there. So that'll be a 2-day thing, and then we'll head back and then enjoy Black Friday in the traditional manner of sleeping in or something like that. I don't know. So. All right, well, let's move on from there. It's interesting stuff, the GDK. I've seen some people doing some really cool stuff with it so far. Can't really talk about too much of it that I've seen, but it's very interesting to see what we're coming up with. So, and not only just software, but also hardware. We've got some cool stuff coming down the way, including this thing, which is the first remote for Google Glass, and it's actually called Remote, and a pretty interesting thing. I'll show you a little bit of the Kickstarter here. Once this starts playing, there we go. So basically, this is called Remote. It's available in it's available on Kickstarter as they're pulling up $70,000 for this. It's a very interesting Bluetooth remote, and it works for more than just glass. It'll also remote your computer. It'll also remote on any device that you need it that also has Bluetooth, and it works as a secondary remote. And you saw this first, right, Luke? What were your impressions on this?
I think it's a neat idea. I really do think that there's a good use case to be made for not having to hold your hand up to the side of your head and, you know, having something a little, more stealthy. People have mentioned being able to use it with their hands in their pockets and basically have a little remote for their glass, especially in these winter months when, you know, your hands would be cold and you have to take your hand out of your glove to be able to use glass because it's got the same capacitive, you know, requirement. And so something that you could, a little wireless remote for your glass could come in handy.
Actually, I have used my glass with gloves on, and it does work. And I'm not talking about touch capacitive gloves. I'm talking regular gloves. And I was doing the swipe forward and back, and it was responding without a problem.
I tried with some gloves and it didn't work for me. So it's interesting. Depends on gloves.
Well, at any rate, this is pretty interesting because it's not only it's a pretty decent price. They've put together a full company on this LLC and everything. The first real backer is the $49 early bird backer, and you get one Remote Explorer edition, free access to the beta libraries, and free shipping in the United States and Europe. Everybody else, of course, you have to add $10. But $49, that's not too shabby for a device like that, and very much in a price range that I could get and you could get. So did you back this at all?
No, I hadn't backed it yet. I was kind of going to wait for it to see if it got closer to being supported. And I don't know if it's a use case that I'm real interested in right now. But I think there's definitely a case to be made for it to be handy. You know, maybe a little smaller or some other things. I'm sure Revision 2 will be even better. No, I haven't yet, but a lot of people have, and I'm sure it'll be something that's useful. And because it works with other devices, it's not, there's a lot of people that are probably interested in that for doing kind of steady photography with, maybe their phone or using it as a remote for their phone or their tablet. You know, if you wanted to run presentations off of a tablet mm-hmm. hooked up to a TV, I could see something like this also being handy for that. So
yeah,
there's a lot of good uses for it.
Yeah, and like I said, what I saw, they said that you could actually remote control more than just glass. So if you needed to do a dual presentation, because we talked last week about that software that you can load up that'll help you figure out your presentation. So you'll be able to run that through there, and that's pretty cool. So can't wait to see what happens. Maybe we'll get the crew from Remote TT or whatever they call themselves on the show and talk about the remote a little bit more and go from there. So,
yeah.
But anyway, if you want to read all the show notes, just by the way, just so you know, are up on thisweekingooglegoogleglass.com or twig.tv. You can go there and check it all out from there. All right, let's move on. We had last week there was an article and there was a question that was asked because when we got our pair of Google Glass, they basically said, you don't let anybody touch them. You don't leave them out of your sight, and you definitely don't sell them. If you sell them, we're going to totally deactivate that pair of Google Glass, and then you're pretty much going to have a brick device. Well, last week they pretty much said, well, yeah, we said that, but we're not really turning off pairs of Google Glass. Well, this kind of started a brand new rephase in the Google Glass selling area. And eBay, apparently eBay and Craigslist have been getting some good offers, not only for the Glass, but apparently for the invites. I should have sold my invites on eBay because it looked like there's one here. Well, this one got for $81, but there's some that a few hundred dollars for their invite. It's amazing stuff. So what do we got here? Well, we've got a nice Shale Google Glass for $2,400, their best offer. One for $27, and of course this is best offer, so they're not sold just yet. Here's a Explorer invite for $250. So how much would you pay if you were not part of the Glass Explorers, Luke? How much would you pay on eBay for a pair of Google Glass?
Ooh, that's a tough question. A very tough question. Yeah, I mean, it's something you just can't go to a store and buy. It's just impossible. So, you know, does that mean that it's worth, you know, $100 more than what we paid for it? I don't know. I don't know if I would feel good buying something like that. You know, especially because who knows what that does to any sort of warranty thing that you've got. 'Cause now you can't call them up and, you know, you're not technically a Glass Explorer. So if you have any sort of issues with them, I guess you're just out of luck. So I wouldn't really want to spend a couple grand on something like that, that I wouldn't be able to get replaced. Now, who knows? Like you said, if you called them up and said, look, I have it, I purchased it from someone, you know, maybe they would help you out. I don't know. But, for me, I wouldn't be willing to take that risk buying it. Now, buying an invite, that might be something that I could see paying, you know, 50, 100, 100 bucks for, maybe, because I still have to buy the glass. So,
yeah.
You know, but I've seen those same kind of ads that you're showing there on the Dallas Craigslist. I actually looked up the one around here just to see if they were for sale. And I found a few people that were selling the glass and also selling, and I found some that were selling the invite. And people were saying, yeah, I've got the invites. I will meet you somewhere and we will go through the whole process. I will, you know, forward you the invite after you pay me the money, and I will sit there and wait while you register, make sure, you know, you get everything taken care of. And
yeah,
because they wanted to make sure that you know, people didn't think they were trying to scam them by saying, oh yeah, I'll send you an email, send me a couple hundred bucks. And you know, you know, so yeah, people are definitely trying to make a profit or make some of that money back selling those invites.
Well, here's two questions for you. First of all, would you sell the pair of Google Glass that you have on your head right now?
I don't think I would.
All right. That leads me to the second question. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten our emails yet for the upgrades for version 2. But I'm guessing that once we get those emails, if we send them another $1,500, we'll get another pair of Google Glass, and we'll actually have the old version and the new version of pair of Google Glass. That it's just a guess right now, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. So let's say you buy the upgraded pair of Google Glass for another $1,500. Would you turn around and sell your old pair of Google Glass or this pair of Google Glass to somebody else?
I could definitely, I think that'd definitely be an option, because then that would kind of effectively sell the invite, you know, effectively sell an existing pair. And, you know, I would have paid for both, so it wouldn't be like I'd be trying to scam anybody. So, I mean, I could see people wanting to do that. So it'd be tempting. But again, that person who bought the version 1 might not get support for it. And so, you know, I'd feel kind of bad if I took all that money and then they had any sort of issue with it. And then they came back to me and said, hey, they're not going to help me out. I want my money back because now it's worthless, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And I already bought Christmas presents with it, and you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody. So.
Well, see, the thing is, they can't register it to begin with, because when you deactivate this pair for the other pair, let's say, then what will happen is they'll get the pair. They'll have to go to a website which they don't have access to, because their email doesn't have access to it. and they'll try and gain access, and that won't work. So, and that's the only way that it registers and creates an account, a pairing, excuse me, between the Glass and Google. So there's got to be something. Has somebody done some jailbreaking or anything with Google Glass that you know of? Because I haven't heard anything.
Not that I'm aware of, but I know I've registered my Glass with a couple different Google accounts just to try going back and forth between them. And so I think that you could switch it out to another account. You just got to, you know, factory reset the Glass and then sign up. So it might work. They have opened up the Mirror API developer access to everyone. It used to be that was very locked down, and you had to be whitelisted to be allowed to write any sort of Glass or any sort of glassware. And they've opened that up now, so anybody can write apps for Glass, even if they don't have a pair, even if they're not in the Explorer program. Now, obviously, they can't test them because they don't have a pair of Glass to do that, but. If anybody out there writes any glassware and they want us to try it out, you know, I'd be willing to kind of to go to the website and, you know, click through and get it installed on my Glass. So, you know, let me know if you find anything. But I don't know. I think it gets into some real weird cases of ownership and warranty and, you know, all that kind of stuff if people start selling them. So I'm not really planning on it, and I wouldn't really recommend it to anybody. Now selling the invites, that's a whole nother thing. So
I don't know. If somebody gave me $10,000 right now and you send it to me, I think I'd send you my pair of Google Glass. Why not?
Yeah, there might be some places out there that are looking. So
yeah, I can see for somebody that wants to take Google Glass and just take it apart. Just to study it, to see what it's like. Maybe even take it apart, because I could probably take this thing apart and sell it for parts for those. Because one of the common things is right here, people. This part of the bow breaks, and some people want to have replacements. And I could actually sell my Google Glass for parts, especially those that have. Bought them on eBay. They can't get service for them through Google. So, you know, they'll buy parts from me. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. And you know, some people, you know, for some people, money's not an object. And I'd really like to meet those people because, you know,
yeah,
money's an object for me.
People, so.
What's that?
I don't know anybody like that. I'm afraid.
You'd be surprised. You live in Dallas, Texas. You've got a lot of millionaires live in Dallas, Texas. You'd be surprised how many millionaires you've actually run into. You just didn't know.
It's true. I think I've actually I probably know more than I realize. But yeah.
All right, let's move on here. Very interesting. I actually saw this on Twitter right before I started a little bit about me. I do know a little bit of sign language, a little bit. I did learn for a couple years, and so when I saw this video, Google Glass for the Deaf by the CSD channel, I was very intrigued and watched it a little bit. So basically, and I'm going to show you just a touch of it here over on their website. So basically what they're saying is that, you know, Google Glass works great for everybody else, but for the deaf, not so much. And so what they want to do is they want to put together a new type of process where they – because a couple people have actually gotten Google Glass that work for CSD, and they're trying to figure out how they can use Glass – in a more productive area for somebody with a hearing deficiency. Like, for instance, you can run a Google Hangout during a meeting, and as somebody's speaking, they can hear it, and then the translator then turns around and translates it, so you see inside the lens what they're seeing, the translation from there. The only problem to that is if me, as the person that has a problem hearing, wants to ask a question, the best I can do is something like this in front of the camera, and then try and sign, but I'd have to sign it in front of the camera, and then that translator would have to find a way to get back to the presenter, which just causes a whole bunch of problems. So it's a very interesting video. Excuse the pun, but it opened up my eyes to how the deaf are using this product, and it's just amazing what they're getting out of it. Even if it's not a two-way communication thing, they're getting something out of it, and I'm very excited about that. Have you had a chance to watch that video at all, Luke, or no?
No, I haven't, but I've seen some other ones that are on that topic of, people that, are disabled or have some sort of impairment, being able to use glass, it is vision based. But I've even seen, some stuff where they were talking about, blind people, using glass because it has the audio, like if they can hear well, the audio stuff that it can do and basically speak to you. Answers. You can ask it questions and it'll talk to you and speak the answer a lot of the times. So for them, it's not even unusable. So I think even though it has capabilities that you really need sight and hearing to use, even if you only have some of those, you can still, there's still advantages to it. There's still reasons you might want to use it. Kind of like we see with smartphones, I think there's kind of a parallel there where even if you're deaf, you can still use a smartphone and it's very useful, even though you can't hear anything that it's doing, so you might not be able to listen to music on it or listen to the music or sounds in a video game, but that doesn't mean that it's useless to you because there's still parts of it that are very useful and, maybe more useful than a computer, stuck back at home. So I think it's going to be kind of similar to that where, yeah, there's always going to be ways and accessibility, I'm sure, will be a big part of that. What will they do to try to make that better and more accessible for more people? But, it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I definitely found it interesting. Like I said, I spent a couple of years with the Madison Association of Deaf People, and it was a very interesting going down to their clubhouse and learning sign language because they don't talk. You rarely hear any words come out at certain times. So it's very intimidating in some cases, but it's also very cool. Once you start understanding what all this means, that you just get the sense of accomplishment. So I love the idea that they're really working to try and figure out ways to do this, especially bringing that camera back. And I think the best thing to do is just to have some sort of mirror, kind of poised right here, so I can do something like this and maybe get it in an angle so a translator could understand what I'm trying to ask, or otherwise have some other option like. Have a teletype or something like that, where you have it on a tablet, where you ask the questions and go from there. So I don't think there's going to be an easy answer. Bottom line.
What was that Bluetooth remote with the little? Imagine if that had a keyboard on it or something, so you could type in things as well.
If it had a link to another pair of now, this might be an option. If it had a link to another pair of glass. And the presenter wore the pair of glass, and it could switch back and forth, or maybe as a Google Hangout, you see the translator would see both sides of the video. Maybe that could be the answer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, anyway, let us know what you think. I mean, do you like this idea, or do you have an idea for? The CSD that can really propel glass into a new era. Let us know. Jeff at twig.tv with two G's. Luke at twig.tv. God, I can speak today. Of course, my Twitter handle is geekazine. Luke's Twitter handle is LukeLuke. You can always contact us and go from there. Speaking of which, that does bring us to the end of this episode. We hope you like it. It was a great. We did this a little bit differently because of the new Hangouts. So hopefully that, besides that middle problematic skip that we had, we didn't have any other problems from there. So, Luke, why don't you let everybody know where you can be found?
Yeah, like you said, Luke Luca on Twitter or Luke at twig.tv. That's TWIGG.TV. Or yeah, over on Google Plus, google.com/plus Luke Wallace.
All right. And of course, plus Jeffrey Powers or plus Geekazine, Think Magazine, put it in Geek. And you've got Geekazine. And of course, Geekazine is my Twitter handle. And you can find me there. This Week in Google Glass has its own URL, This Week in Google Glass. And we're also, one more thing, YouTube. We switched the YouTube channel to This Week in Google Glass. So you can actually go to youtube.com/ This Week in Glass. That's the URL I ended up getting. And go from there. Of course, I'll have the link to it. And future episodes are going to be going right onto there. So subscribe to that channel as well. So, all right, well, that does it for this week. In This Week in Google Glass, my name is Jeffrey Powers. Thanks a lot for watching. We will see. We will be back next week where we'll do that. And then, of course, just a little program note, just so you know, we're going to take a small little break for the holidays and CES and then come back. So we've got a couple more episodes before that happens. So don't fret. We're still going to be here. And, of course, if you have any questions, let us know at the emails below. Thanks a lot for watching. This week. Anyways, it's This Week in Google Glass. Take care.